Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The church is made up of two categories of people. There is the church, there is the mixed multitude. So there are some people in the church that will come for service. They may have Christian names. However, I want to encourage you to do your study. If the word you are hearing makes you feel sad, then maybe you should go back and study it again until the work of righteousness is complete in you. Also, as we are going to be starting from verse 18, Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. I want you to know that everything that the Lord Jesus says to us, he says to us out of love. The scripture says that God does not desire that any should perish, but that everyone should come to the knowledge of the truth. So let's read Revelation chapter 2 and from verse 18. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we ask that, Lord, you will guide us and show us your counsel. Help us to embrace it. In Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you something. First things first. There is a place you can get to as a Christian that you become a threat even to God's work on earth, and God will have to pin you down. Let me tell you where that place is. That place is when you, let me tell you where you, the kind of person you will be. When you get to that point where you are no longer accountable, where you are the most anointed in the church, where you are the one that everybody listens to when they want to know the mind of God, you get to that spot and then you become uncontrollable. That type of man becomes an enemy of God. He may still be anointed, he may still be gifted, he may still be used by God, but God will now be compelled to peg him. God will be the one resisting him. Because that kind of a man, we eventually, he might have been doing so many great things for God in the last 25 years. And in 1 year, he will destroy everything. You know, when Kenneth Hagin was alive, Kenneth Hagin was a very dangerous prophet. I mean, among all the prophets and evangelists in his days, Hagin was the only one that was seeing Jesus like water. Hagin would say, I was just praying and Jesus just walked in. And through the wall, or he came in through the door, like he will see Jesus with his eyes, even though it was in a, like in a vision, you know. And Jesus will speak to him for 45 minutes, 1.5 hours. And I think that's really something to desire, all right? That Jesus will leave whatever he's doing and come to you. Maybe you are trying to get out of the bathroom in your master bedroom or somewhere, and you came out of the bedroom, and you saw Jesus sitting on your bed waiting for you to come out. And say, my son, how are you doing? Sit down, let me talk to you about casting out devils. How to cast out devils. Like, this is serious. You are not even praying. You just came out of the bedroom and Jesus was there waiting. But you know something that Hagin did? Hagin tempered his giftings. He tempered it with the love of God and humility. Please, what I just said now, if you are writing, this is what will preserve every Christian. No matter how anointed you are, you will be destroyed eventually if you are not tempered with the love of God and a humble spirit. Let me repeat. No matter how anointed you are today, no matter how much God is using you today, you will become an enemy of God eventually if you are not tempered, if your life is not tempered, if the driving force of your life is not the love of God and a humble spirit. And that's one of the things we saw in Hagin. Such that sometimes when you see Hagin, you almost don't want to believe he's a prophet, because Hagin didn't have the visage of somebody who would, who you call a prophet. In fact, one of the ways he controlled his prophetic anointing was through teaching. So again, we'll spend more time teaching. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you, for those of you, I'm sure you know like 1 or 2, 3 prophets or people who claim to be prophets, including myself, or people who are prophets in front of their names, even though they are not prophetic anything, you know. So somebody who cannot see vision will come and tell you that being a prophet is not about seeing. Okay, it's about what? You did not see the job description. Didn't you see? You saw teacher. You did not claim to be a teacher. You saw preacher. You know, you came to pick the one for which you are not anointed for. You now came here. It's not by. It's by establishing the counsel of God. What is the counsel of God? Okay. I am not a prophet. Yeah, it's just like when people say they are apostles. And there was a church. I think we spoke about a church that said they tried everyone who said they were apostles and found that they were all lying, which means most people who say they are apostles are liars. If a church was trained in the book of Revelations and they checked everyone who had apostle in front of their name and found all of them, they didn't even find one. It means most people, it's a theory, who claim to be apostles are liars. So I leave that one for you. You just look around. I'm not an... Well, maybe I'll be tomorrow. I don't know. But Pastor actually gave me a prophecy about that in this church like 3 years ago. But I'm still waiting. You understand? So, but please note what I just said. Because the moment you are no longer tempered with humility and what? And what? Love of God. One of the things Satan will bring into your life will be the love of money. Please write it down. The moment these two things are not there, because you know the Bible, you will know the exit points. You will know the scriptures you can use to prove that what you are doing is right. Because you know the loopholes. You've read the Bible. You will be using the scriptures to justify your desire, your unhealthy desire for money. You will take money from people in church. Look, let me tell you something. Now, everybody look up. The scripture says that he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Can I ask you a question? How do you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet? Anyway, please, quickly, let's not waste time. Who has an idea? One or two people, please. How do we receive a prophet? Okay, let's look at the Old Testament. Those who received a prophet, how did they receive him? Huh? If you say, oh, no, it's blanket, be specific. You need to speak up. You are using Bible language. Sacrifice, prophet. Okay, let's start with Saul. All right, Saul was coming to see Samuel, and his servant said to him, we should not go before the prophet without a gift, or what you would call a prophetic gift, or offering, or honorarium. Is that not it? So you are honoring him because you feel he deserves, like he's a man of God, right? Now, let me ask a question, because some people are very crazy and they're online, all right? Not in this church, you like social media people. If the president of this nation were to come to your house, would you consider giving him a gift when he's going? Huh? Wouldn't it be a great thing? Like, so would you want to give him a gift beyond your means? Would you try? Huh? Is that abuse? Is the president taking advantage of you? But the president is not going to heaven. The president, why are you giving him that gift? Because you feel honored. There is something about the honor upon the president that even when you hate him, if you see him physically, you are almost like you want to prostrate. Do you know that feeling? It's a once in a lifetime experience that you may not get again. So that's Saul. Let's talk about the woman who had no child but saw Elisha walking past her house regularly. How did she receive the prophet? She gave him a room. She recognized that he was a man of God. And then she told her husband, let's honor him, right? They gave him a place to stay. They gave him a table. They were feeding him. Then later, the woman felt like, why are we just doing? They built him a house there. At the upper, at the upper echelon. Not around Surilero. Body loan. They built him a house around body loan. Band A, band A square, not band A, but they must have light there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Band A. You know, these guys have light. They have all the, you know, the man of God can even feel like, ah, finally God has decided to remember me. Huh? The breakthrough the woman got, was it God that gave it to her? Or was it the prophet? Talk to me now. Let's go into, so we can enter this Bible if we want to. Was it the Lord that told Elisha that the woman was childless? Elisha, who is razor sharp, with the kind of prophetic gift he has, God did not tell him. Elisha asked his own servant, what is it about this woman we can, that she's doing so much for us? Do you understand? That is to say, the prophet's heart was moved by the love and the care. Even if the woman, you know, the woman didn't use her faith. It was Elisha's faith that gave her that child. The woman didn't need it. It's a dangerous level. Eh? Where the, have you heard me minister once in a while? Where I would tell people, I'm using my faith, not yours. It's a level. It's not every time, but it comes once in a while. The woman had become so, that Elisha had become so blessed that no. You are taking, you must have a child. It's okay. God is faithful. Which faithful? In 9 months time, you will know God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. So when you say, he that receives a prophet, you know, is you receive him. Eh? It's not through prayer. You are not receiving him with prayer. You are receiving him by ministering to him. And I'm trying to tell you that if you feel your president deserves it, your prophet deserves it even much more. But why did I go to all this length? Paul made a statement in the scripture and he said, even though we have this right, we have not used them. I can come to this church every Sunday and read out this scripture to you and convince you that your money is my own. And I will take all your money till one day you become tired. You just run away. You change your phone number so that every time you see my call, like the Lord says, it's time for you to sow a seed. Which useless pastor is this one? The only message he has is seed. And there are prophets, false prophets like that everywhere. In fact, the way to know a prophet is that he will collect a prophetic offering. I have not used that authority in this church. It doesn't mean it is not the word of God. But I have also not insisted on it to protect my soul. Are you with me? See, let me tell you, those who choose to minister in this way will be blessed. But I have decided to protect my soul because I have seen people I know and I trusted and money corrupted them and it was unbelievable. And they are still alive. So don't even start that thing that I know why I am in Christ. I cannot be corrected by money. You've not seen a certain amount. You've never seen. How much you have in your dollar account? $500? $1,000? $2,000? Is that what you call? By the time you are seeing USD, you are a Christian. No? Not, I'm not saying you're a businessman. A Christian in six zeros. Dollars. Six zeros. You know, your bank, every your birthday, they'll be coming to bring gifts to you because you're a good customer. When you have USD in six zeros and you don't withdraw, say, it's comfortable. That's the kind of customer we are looking for. Even me, the branch manager, I will come and be sleeping in your house. Just tell me, can I wash your clothes? Because this money must not, if that money leaves that bank, I'll be fired. So I prefer to be a cleaner in your house. Yes. If you know what we did when I was in bank here, you please, this short session I just gave to you, I want you to go and consider it. Because if you read, by the time we are done with this series, we will go through a summary of everything Jesus spoke about for each of the churches, and then we'll look at them and then we'll round up. Let's read verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Please, I want you to observe this verse I just read. There was a particular an item that Jesus mentioned twice. What was it? He mentioned works twice. This is the first church since we started this study where Jesus mentioned works. I know thy works twice. And he said, the last was even found to be more than the first. In other words, this guy served God so much that they had works and they had works. Like they were setting records. And anytime they had to do something again, they say, no, we cannot. Last year, we targeted 500 souls. This year, it has to be 5,000. That's the way they were thinking. They were not thinking like, okay, 500 times 2. No, Jesus even acknowledged that the last work they did was found to be more. I am telling you that God is looking at what you are doing. And he's looking at how you are doing it. And he's looking at the art with which you are doing it. If you want to serve God, serve him. Not all of us will be called to be pastors. Look, let me tell you. I know the sacrifice that is involved in coming here on a Tuesday. But Jesus is seeing it. Come on, tell your neighbor, Jesus is seeing it. He's seeing it. You could have decided to even log off. You could have decided, people just see, oh, pastor, there was no audio at some point during the live service. Come and join the media team. We need more hands. Maybe if you are there, things will become more stable. Do you understand? People logging online and they see one person preaching. Have they ever considered that that man is useless without so many hidden people? There are so many people at the background that without that man, this voice would be useless. I said, go ahead and message this afternoon. All the way from Australia, somebody that listens to us here. Australia is like 10, 13 hours ahead. You wake up at that time, join. So you are important too. Did you see Jesus mentioning the pastor here? He was talking to the church. He was talking to the members of the church. Now, did you also notice that Jesus didn't separate the workers from the members? Which means that whatever we do, we will all share the profit and loss. If you have someone who is a friend in church, who is not serving God, you need to call the person and say, come, I beg, don't reduce our score. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you also remember that when Jesus came to talk to these churches, the name of the church, of each church, was on their report sheet? All right. Let's go on. Verse 20. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you permitted that woman Jezebel, who calls herself. You see, there are many people who call themselves and are not, but they have a stage. He says she calls herself a prophetess. And what is she doing? She is teaching. She's a teacher. That means she has been given the podium, the stage. She has been given a microphone because the pastor doesn't know more. He doesn't know. The woman is very gifted. Anytime she preaches like this, everywhere is on fire. He gives her the microphone to teach and to seduce, which means that the element, the anointing, the unction behind that teaching grace was seduction, which means that whenever she teaches, people begin to say, hey, but really, wait to, when Pastor Mrs. was talking about this thing, actually, you know, they always teach around gray lines. You know what I mean by gray lines? They teach around areas where it seems as though the Bible is silent. That's how they get their followership on YouTube. Should a Christian smoke? Are you still here? If I fornicate once, am I going to hell? I have the answer. Is it compulsory to go to church every Sunday? When the scripture says we are the church. Hallelujah. Is it scriptural to pay to honor the Lord with my tithe? Tithing is Old Testament. The issue is not that we will not address these things. The issue here is that the goal behind our doctrine is to seduce, which means that anytime you listen to her, you are pulled away from God. Your heart strays farther from God. You just notice that since you've been going to that church, now you are more business conscious. You are business. Omo, we need to make it. What if not? How would you explain why should anybody even know the color of your pastor's car online? Why? I saw somebody's picture anyway online. My car was the background. I denied my car. I like the picture, but I deny my car. Nobody should come and look for me at home. I'm still learning. In case my helper is watching, they will now say, "You already have a car. Please help me, oh! Don't look at the car. You can help me." I say, "I need to move to the next level." You know, what if not for this feeling of worldliness? And I tell you, man, a church will not rise in holiness beyond the commitment the pastor has to it. The church will not rise in revival, in repentance, beyond the commitment that the pastor has to it. If you suddenly find people who are becoming very wayward, who are becoming very worldly, and they are taking people away from God, go and check the leadership. Somebody has permitted it. He has permitted through his doctrine. He has permitted through his careless lifestyle. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Huh? So if not, what business, how a pastor drives into the premises of the church, why should it matter? If not that we are backsliding, why should it? When did we become celebrities? Pastors are not called to be celebrities. We are called to be messengers. We only do as we are instructed. You see, I am telling you this because these churches that Jesus was rebuking, we weren't using cameras to capture them as they were coming down from the plane, into the jeep, into the express from Abuja Muritala, and then from the helicopter into Maryland. There is nothing wrong with that. However, somebody started it. It was somebody that started the matter of paying instrumentalists. The ushers too have prepared their budget. Media are also waiting. Once the media hear that I've approved the one for ushers, they will just strike. They won't even talk. They will just strike. And I say, "Pastor, we need to have..." "Okay, let's finish." I say, no. Let's talk now. And I'm warning all of you. You media people. The day you do it, that day, it will be a prayer meeting in church. So don't worry. I will go online and post that our media team on strike. I'm not the federal government. So today's a prayer meeting. I'm not against honoring those who labor amongst us. However, if this church that I just was talking about, they were not raising celebrities. And Jesus said this. So what do you think he's going to say about our generation? How many people are actually going to church because they believe the word of God is the standard for which a man will find eternity with God? Or is God now a stopgap to find what we want? God, I need to find a husband. I was talking to a man of God, and he said to me, "Say, Pastor, you see that girl, don't mind her." I said, Why? She looks very gentle. He said, "Pastor, she has wasted her teenage years. She wasted her youthful years. Now she's the lady's even older than I am. She says she's trusting God for her." Say, "Pastor, don't stress yourself. Just pray for her, let her go." "Ah?" I said, "Now you remember." "Say, I forget about it." "So you are processing." If we were the ones who told people that Jesus came to the world to make them happy, that was not the assignment of Jesus. Jesus came to conscript you into an army. Came to conscript you. And he told us clearly from the word that he came to divide between brother and sister, between father and son, between mother and daughter. So which happiness? Your happiness is in the fact that you are able to serve God. In fact, in the book of Luke chapter 12, the scripture says that after you have done the will of God, and they said to you, "Oh man of God," Jesus said, "Tell them, I am an unworthy servant. I only did what I was asked to do." When the spanner that the mechanic uses to pull out the car battery, the battery head, and pull out the car battery, does it tell the spanner thank you? When the carpenter uses his hammer and he tries to put together a table and uses the nails, does the hammer complain? Does it tell it thank you? So what are you looking for? Jesus said, "Those who overcome." He said, "Those who overcome." My brother, we need to make sure we get to the overcoming line. There are many people who are living for this earth. There are many Christians, those people that you respect, and those celebrity pastors. There was one of them recently that was dressing like a woman, trying to. You see, they have no heaven they are going to, and they want to take you with them. Do you think if Satan wanted to derail you, do you think he will come in the person of a politician, or do you think he will come in the person of a pastor? If somebody was struggling with sexual immorality, the person is supposed to come to church and hear the word of God that will challenge him and tell him that this thing is sin, you must repent. But people come to church and we tell them, dance, 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 and forget your sorrow. Dance, say, I don't like the way you are dancing. I don't like, please, nobody should do that here again. Are you happy? I don't like the way you are dancing. Dance your own dance. You understand? That's what people are doing today. Say, shout, shout. That brother shouting needs to give his life to Christ. The problem with destiny is that sometimes Satan will not be in a hurry to destroy you. He will just be planting seeds in your life. Those kind of seeds that don't grow immediately. Eh? They will be there 10 years, 15 years. Eh? Then one day, all the seeds will grow at once and will start bearing fruit at once. They will become trees. Then you will not know where to start praying from. Instead of you now to address this issue you have in your life that is not making you make progress, you are pushing it by the side because it has not come to the light. Jesus spoke about this woman called Jezebel. Let me tell you a few things about her. Now, there are some people in the scripture who lived a very terrible life to the point that when they died, a spirit took over their identity. Are you with me? Have you ever thought about why God referred to it as Jezebel? Jezebel has been dead for hundreds of years. But a spirit, the spirit that inhabited her was now given a name. Imagine that Lucifer had taken over the body of Moses when Moses died. Do you know we would have had another spirit of Moses now? That spirit of Moses would be hovering around. What is that kind of spirit? That spirit would be the spirit that works with God but never finishes. Are you with me? That spirit that makes a man walk with God, do miracles, but he will never finish well. And that spirit, you will see it in the life of that person. The way this person is going, there's nobody that can talk to him. You begin to see the signs of that spirit. But you see, thank God for the mercy of God upon Moses. But look at Jezebel. Years after she had died, Jesus came and mentioned that there was a woman in the church that was operating by Jezebel's spirit. And what was it about that woman? The first error here is that the church leadership and the church permitted the woman. You see, there are some things we must not permit. And if your pastor is permitting it, you need to say, Pastor, are you sure about what you are doing? We are not going to invite a guest to this church simply because he is trending. You can trend, but I hope God knows your name. You understand? I'm not saying you should not trend, though. But I hope in the realm of the spirit, you are not just trending on YouTube or on whatever. If I am doing anything, hear me, are you here now? If I am doing anything that is making me become appealing to unbelievers, but I'm not seeing conversions. Is that something we should be concerned about? There are many people that will die. When they die, they will remember, they will be hearing my voice. Pastor Minga, they'll be hearing my voice like, I did not listen. It will be too late. Instead of you to repent, you are thinking that you have tomorrow. Did God promise anybody tomorrow? Nobody. If you wake up in the morning, you give glory to him. Many of us who are adults here, we are already above 33 years old, or if not, and that was when Jesus died, and you are here claiming long life. Let me tell you, a Christian is someone that should have a healthy relationship with death. You shouldn't be afraid like someone out there, will be crying as if truly you believe in heaven, why are you crying like this? Will you be sad? Yes. If I die today, My wife will not jump into that barrier. No matter how much she loves me, she won't. Because her parents will tell her, control yourself, don't worry, everything will be all right. That's what her parents will tell her. But she says she loves me. Why can't we die together? You will not. All the people that lost their spouse and remarried, didn't they tell their former spouse that together forever? We behave as if we are sure of tomorrow. We behave as if God, everything is assured. Instead of you to take ownership of today and serve God and have something to your name, that woman was teaching the people false doctrines. She seduced the pastors in the church to commit fornication. And she also taught doctrines relating to eating food already offered to idols. Any religion, whatever they call it, Ileya, Ilema, Ilepa, whatever they call it, Chingo, Chinchan, Chinchin, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. What if you eat it because you are celebrating with them, you are in trouble. If you eat it because you are hungry and that's the only food, you are safe. Are you here now? If while doing the work of God, you saw the food there, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, if it is received with thanksgiving and prayer, Father, we thank you for this provision. Ah, it's our idol. I am your idol. I came down from heaven to receive your sacrifice. After now, we'll talk, but I need to quickly receive this offering. You pour anointing oil on it. Add small pepper and eat. Hear what I said, because some people hear upside down. I said, if you ate that food because you wanted to felicitate with them, you are in trouble. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus made it very clear that a Christian should not eat any food offered to idols. I don't care. I don't care. Hear me. This is the word of God. I don't care if your father belongs to another religion. If it has been offered to idols, if any incantation was said over that thing, any prayer that was taught in the name of Jesus, and you touch it, Jesus said that's part of the doctrine of Jezebel. You know, in this part of the world, we like to one love. Okay, this is not ragamuffin. And this is not, what's that guy in that Jamaica, those Rastafarian, Lucky Dube. You better wake up. When we are in school, Pastor Desmond and I, while in his own house, he was living with Muslims. Anytime they do Ileya, they'll bring the thing. Desmond was didn't have food. So it was a welcome idea. He prayed on it. Me, I did not join him because my own landlord is a troublemaker. He doesn't give food. But his own landlord, and God was so merciful. God was so merciful. In that house, the youngest child in that house, Abib, what's that guy say? I was talking to Pastor Desmond. May God give you good friends. I say, may God give you good friends. We are talking. That guy, every time, if he sees us pray, Shata kataba, e kataba, yeza, atabada. He'll be laughing at us. Shoklo, shoklo, shakalabada. He'll be laughing. Say, one day God will catch you. But it's our landlord. We cannot beat him. The landlord's son is also your landlord. Have you now? So we could not beat him. But he was very close to us. Pastor Desmond was having a chat. He told me, do you know that guy is a Christian? He was the first. Because in some of those times, Pastor Desmond will pray for him. That God, even if you can give me one from this family have been good to me. They received me. Shall you see the way a Christian is thinking? A Christian is not thinking like when is the next Ilea? When is the next, what's that other? Idem or Lud? See the way a Christian is thinking that, God, how can this family, they love me, even though they are Muslims, they love me, they accept me. God, I need one soul, at least one soul. That boy is a Christian now, on fire. But when was the seed sown? When they received a pastor in their house. How come you stay with somebody and there was no encounter in their lives? You stayed in that house for 3 years, 2 years, and God did not visit that family. God did not do anything there because of you. And you are there. That's not bad. That's not good. Please tell your neighbor that's not good enough. And if you're online, tell your neighbor there too. That's not good enough. So what is it about food offered to idols? The first thing I want you to know is that food offered to idols is you becoming one with the idol. The same way, when you feast on God's word, you and God's word become one. So when you eat anything offered to idols, you are becoming one with that same spirit. Except you have permission from the Lord, don't try it. Look at it. The Lord mentioned it as one of these people, even though they were very spiritual. Once it's Ilea, they'll go and sit down and eat. They say they are doing solidarity. And there was nobody. The pastor that was supposed to correct them could not do it because he was already seduced by a Jezebel spirit. Are you here? Are you here or have you gone home? Now, there's something beautiful about this particular scripture in verse 21. Let's look at verse 21. Now, it's amazing because when I used to read this scripture before now, I used to think that, oh, this Jezebel is a spiritual force. It's a evil spirit that used to visit the church every Sunday night or every Sunday morning. Until I realized that the scripture, Jesus said, he gave her time. I gave her space. This woman was a member of the church. He said, I gave her space to repent. That means despite all she was doing, that woman probably had a genuine calling, but it was hijacked. If a person is called by God and Satan hijacked, the person will still be preaching. The only way you will know is when you now begin to pay attention. You will start hearing, it's like this pastor's message, don't they change, small, low. You will now begin to know that, we need to go and pray for this man. He said, I gave her space. Now, this is very comforting for me because what this means is that there is nobody God will judge if he has not personally given that person time to repent. You may not know when God gave that person time. But you see, when that person stands before God, that person cannot say God did not give him time. You may not know. You may feel like, oh, this person, oh, he belongs to this religion. There is nobody that will stand before God that God didn't give enough time to. He said God gave her time to repent of her fornication. Shall you see? The issue, the old through which that spirit was able to use her. The ability, the all that spirit had over her was because of fornication. Do you know that there are things in your life that if Satan exploits, he can make you his servant. He will make you his servant and he will be using you. It will take a very spiritual man to see that this person is not alright. Something is wrong with this person. You see, I give her time. After she made the pastor sleep with her, she made the assistant pastor sleep with her, the deacons slept with her. So now that she has everybody in her pocket, I want to be preaching like you. If you don't allow me to preach, I'll tell the church. What the pastor could have done is come to the altar and say, church, egg by me, oh, mona save me, oh. I don't sin, I don't commit sin. I cannot keep it again. I cannot hide from my God. Pastor David, she reached your side, saying, no, it's my side. Make I confess for you. Hey, you just come here. People will think it's the drama in it of the church. They will know that pastor has come to confess. Because this woman, there's no way the pastor can take control of that church again if he doesn't come out. Because the woman is holding all of them by the jugular. Again, if you truly love your pastor, don't just allow anybody come close to them, even if they are first timers. Yes, especially you. You must make sure nobody comes close to me. Yes, because Pastor Tokwe may be busy. He will be doing other things. He's a man of God in this house. Amen. And he may be busy. You don't say, Pastor is okay. Which pastor is okay? Make sure you are coming into the office every 2 minutes. Pastor, I want to drink water. Pastor, I want to pick broom. Pastor, I want to pick pencil. There's no pencil. Just be looking for the pencil on the floor, wherever it is. Please tell your neighbor, protect your pastor. This pastor was captured with the other fellow deacons because nobody thought Sister Jezebel. That was not her real name. That's her spiritual name. Her name could have been Mata. Her name could have been Kemi. Her name could have been Yetunde. Come on now. And give me those nice names. Her name could have been Cassandra, Linda, Juliet, Benita. Benita Macman. Caroline. But it was Jesus who knew her real name. Oh. If they ask the pastor, who made you fall? He will say, Sister Martha. If they ask Jesus, what will he say? Jezebel. Don't make, listen, I believe I'm talking to men and women of God. Don't become so powerful that nobody can tell you, Pastor, what are you doing? That's why I started from where I started from. That even though we have this authority, we must not use it the way it is. So that somebody can say, Pastor, there's a stain behind your shirt. There's a stain. I may be exhibiting pride here, and I may not know. Come on, are you with me? I may be speaking like a proud man. Yesterday, the Lord Jesus appeared to me 7 times in one night. And he gave me 3 keys. Like one man, he worried and said he was praying. God gave him keys. When I look at the keys, the keys look like the kind of key we made at a new garage. At Oworoye. They said he got the key from heaven. Okay, you got the key. Did you pay for it? No. He said people should come and be buying. I know on that day, God will just see me and say, Benga, you, just enter. Just enter. I know the people I'm looking for in Nigeria. All those ones that are selling keys, selling handkerchief. You watch out, well, here. Where are your members? Enter. Saying I'm not perfect, but I see they're all right. I just will line up behind Deeper Life and enter. I have nothing against any church. But let me tell you, one of the functions of a true prophet is to expose false prophets. Yes. Expose their activities. So please understand that the doctrine of Jezebel, you will find it in seduction. Seduction there, meaning that there's a way they teach the word. They always play around the gray areas. Are you with me? They create a lot of confusion. They also look at the subject. They are also interested in the area of fornication, sexual immorality. Like the Baptist pastor that I spoke about, was it last Tuesday, that I said was preaching to his congregation that sexual sin is not in the Bible, that anybody should quote, show him in the Bible that it's not there. And he started using Greek and Hebrew to explain it. And people were clapping. Meanwhile, in the same video, there was another black pastor, young guy, that God is raising in the U.S. You know, anytime I get discouraged, I will just find one person in the U.S. or U.K. that God is using. The man, white people, like, they will be preaching fire. Like, God has gone ahead of us. God is not waiting for us. God is raising men. There's one young girl, she's about 24. She has a very solid YouTube channel. I just stumbled upon her like a week ago. And the girl started saying some things. I said, oh my God, this girl must be Nigerian. She's white. She started talking about, the spirit of indecency. This is a white American. Like, she has white privilege. She said, look, it's not that I can't wear all these things that, spandex or these things that you say you are wearing to the gym. He said, but, the Holy Spirit will not allow me. He said, I used to wear it. See, later the Holy Spirit told me, say, you are grieving me. Don't wear it again. And she was telling me, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about what Jesus said to me. But she said, when I really look at it, why do I want my body to be a distraction? Why somebody is trying to focus on God, they look at me and then God disappears and they fall again. In the name of freedom, the girl started, I said, oh, I wish I can lay my hands on this girl. Like, come. The girl really gave me hope. Because when me, I think I'm running mad, I will just see somebody. When that pastor was preaching and saying, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you should not fornicate, everybody sat down in the church. They showed another black pastor, young guy. The guy's like 32, 33. He was preaching against immorality and sin. People got up and walked out of the church. And he told them, if I come back next Sunday and I don't see you, I will preach it again. See this church. Preaching, saying it's not a sin. People sat down. See this one. He preached against it. People, while he was preaching, live stream, people got up, started walking out. If God will not judge us, he will apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. He will apologize because we are worse. He said, I gave us space to repent. And please, I want to say this to anybody who is listening to me. God is a God of love. If there's anything the Lord has been talking to you about, don't push it to tomorrow. Don't push it tomorrow. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Repent now. Today is the day of salvation. Repent. Stop living in this secret sin. Are you not tired? Drag yourself with that sin and come to Jesus. And let me tell you, the brother standing beside you may also be struggling. But it's at the altar. You are on your seat. Where is forgiveness? It's at the altar. There was a man, two people came before God. One was a rich man. It's not in the Bible, right? That one came. He said, if I give you, I sow a seed of 2 million into pastor's life. Pastor is a happy man because of my work. You know? I the children program, I gave them 3 million. I gave them a big cow. All the chairs in church, my name is on it. The family of... I went to one Anglican church. Almost all the chair, the family of this one, family of that. Because the day they want to bury your father and they want to do anything, they say, see, it's our father that... Don't, you're a new priest. Don't do anyhow. That's our family name. Don't hide. Let Jesus help you. Jesus said, there's no man that comes to me that I will cast away. Jesus said, even this woman, this Jezebel, I gave her time to repent. But she failed to repent. He said she repented not. He said, behold, look at the judgment. I will cast her into a bed. Look at the judgment. I know I told this woman is a member of that church. So as a pastor, you need to have spiritual eyes to know those that meet this criteria. How does it start? Pastor, you know, we need to start preaching this type of message. Pastor, people are going through a lot of problems. We need to start preaching on financial prosperity. We need to preach on, you know, we have to have business seminar. There's nothing wrong with it. We have done it here. And by God's grace, we'll do it again. But when they start, when the church members start dictating your message, that they have gone beyond their boundary. You are a servant of Christ. And through your servantship or servanthood, you serve the people. The people don't have the power to determine your message. If not, from that day, you are serving man. We must have the fear of God. And you must know who has called you. There are people who come to this church and they sit down, they come here, they sit down, and they are not saved. Church membership doesn't equal to salvation, no. Pull up that scripture. He said, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit what? Adultery with her into the great. There is something that the Lord refers to as what? Great tribulation. This is not the final tribulation, no. This is his judgment over these people. The thing that will happen to this woman and these people with her, people will pray. God will not hear. People will say, God, this punishment is too much. You are a merciful God. You will not hear. The first thing that turns away the hand of God's judgment is repentance. What did I say? The first thing that turns away the hand of God's judgment in any life, in any family. That's why the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name shall what? And what? And turn from their evil ways. So repentance. If you have done something that is wrong, don't wait till tomorrow. Wherever you are, don't be ashamed to go on your knees and say, yes. And when you're asking forgiveness, don't speak in tongues. Say what you did. They're going to ask God for mercy. You are who? You are who? Look at this Anini. Look at this Anini. You did not. You want to say? You want to say you didn't know? Oh, Mokoto Shavi. You can't remember what you did. They say you ask forgiveness. Shaka pataya. Let's begin our forgiveness of sin. Shaka. You are who? Your sin is still there. When you are ready, you will tell us what you did. He said, except she repent. Come on, put up that scripture. He said, except she repent, they repent of their deeds. The problem is that when the tribulation comes, God will no longer permit you to repent in secret. Are you with me? When you get to this stage, you have to come and repent publicly. That's the only problem here. That thing you are running away from. And that's why, as Christians, you must never lose your sense of sincerity. No matter how high God places you, you must never lose your sense of sincerity. You need to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am still struggling in this area. I'm not a patient person. I am a very proud person. You need to be able to look yourself and say, Benga, you are proud. Then ask Pastor Tokwe to preach next Sunday and let the message be on pride. Don't tell him the reason. You because if you continue like this and you are not hearing what will redeem your soul. Are you telling me most people who are doing these wrong things, you think they don't know? But how shall people repent if they don't hear the message? The message still needs to be preached. And the Holy Spirit will ride on that message to prick their heart so that they can bend their knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Listen to me. Repentance is the first law for revival. And as a church, we must meet that requirement. I didn't say individually. As a church, when we hit a particular point, you will see the revival that will break out here. Come on, say amen. Next verse. He said, and I will kill our children with death. This woman had children in that church. Look at the judgment of God. My brother, my sisters, I don't pray that any one of us should make God begin to, okay, let me use you as an example. Look at what Jesus said, some people, I don't know which Jesus they preach to you. All those American Jesus that they preach to you on Instagram. It's not real. It's an evil spirit. See the real Jesus here. The spiritual realm requires balance. Jesus said, I gave you time. And you did not repent. He said, I will kill your children with death. And all the what? Say after me, all the what? Why will Jesus go to this extent to show that he is not just a lamb, he is a lion? All the churches we know, oh, Maya Likata, this is a good place to pray. He said that I am the one that searches what? And what? And I will give to everyone what the woman and these pastors and other, what the judgment they received was according to their works. Don't play with fire. If you are struggling, don't play with fire. Run to the altar. Don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. You keep hiding. You keep hiding. It's not when you impregnate somebody that you will know that you have sinned. It's not when you impregnate someone. Jesus said, I will kill. So what I'm not really sure of is, are the children part of the sin? I'm not sure. But look at the extent Jesus was willing to go to purify his church. Do you also remember that when the Lord wanted to visit judgment on Jezebel, he wiped out the whole family? In the Old Testament, when God wanted to visit, you cannot see. Let me tell you, if Jezebel has a child that is 1 year old, you cannot spare that one. That's how bad the situation is. I said, if Jezebel has a child that is 1 year old, you cannot spare that child. That child will continue from where the mother stopped. Look at how Jezebel was able to hold a king on whom oil, the oil of the Lord, was poured over his head and he became king. Jezebel was able to hold that man, put him under her feet, and bring in over 400 prophets. And they changed the whole spiritual atmosphere over Israel. That's the woman you want to pity. A woman that has a system that delivers. A woman that if she tells you, I'm going to get you, you better start running. The woman that told Elijah, you will die. Elijah didn't pray, he ran. That's the woman you think you can negotiate with. God says, her judgment is dead. You can't negotiate with Jezebel. She is licensed to kill. 007. Licensed to kill. Repentance is something we cannot take away. Any true church, any church of Jesus Christ must preach repentance. In fact, a church that does not preach repentance is a red flag that Satan is the one sitting there. But unto you, glory to God. He said, unto you and unto the rest. That means there were some people, in spite of all that Jezebel was doing, that did not listen to her. They were not much, but they were there. Jesus said, but unto you and unto the rest of you in Thyatira. As many as have not this doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine of what? Sexual immorality, deception, and eating food given to idols. He said, and which have not known the depths of Satan. So, can you see why physically those who saw Jezebel, they will say, Shebi, Pastor, it's just fornication. Let's restore them. God said, where Jezebel took them to was the depth of Satan. Do you know that many of those men that Jezebel handled in that church, they had unhappy homes? Do you know that Jezebel doesn't just go to anybody? Are you flowing with me? Jezebel looks at you. Jezebel can tell when you're unhappy. Huh? If I just call her and say, now your kitchen, how is it? Say, are you people say, I need, can you help me get a dika icon? She will not ask me, where's your wife? She just say, maybe pastor wants to, he just wants to eat something different. She will bring a dika icon. When I see her next week, I say, my God, Sister Kemi, my God, that was heavenly. Heavenly, holy kappa, papa. You prepare that tea. Oh my God. Jesus. Wow. My God. I ate that thing with a bar. Oh. I couldn't stand up when I was on. I just relaxed. Oh my God. God bless you. God bless you. She can see the happiness on my face. Without telling her, she will bring it in 2 weeks' time again. Meanwhile, she will not ask me. Sorry. Hope you are not fighting with Pastor Umi. It's not her business. Anywhere you are motivated, you are likely to do more. Is that not so? So she's doing what her destiny has sent her to do. The day that thing will happen, it will just be natural. The connection. People don't know that you can develop soul tie through food. Oh, yeah, church is quiet. Are you people in this church? Eh? There are some things I can't say here now. But just write it down somewhere. If you don't, you will believe. Even if you don't believe now, you will believe later. I said, when you cook for that guy and he's eating and he's looking at your face, So you are developing what we call soul tie. You are once you move, you are gone. You will not fall that deal, but you will soon fall and you can't escape it because of a dika icon. Put up that scripture. He said, As many of you that have not known the death of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you what? I'll put upon you what? No other body in 25. And that which, that which ye have already, hold fast. See that your Bible, just hold it like this. Because people will come and tell you everything is not in the Bible. Everything is not about praying. Sometimes you need to use common sense. Everything is not about God. God. Hold fast. He said I should hold fast too. So I should. I'm holding fast. Nearer my God. The E-song can't do this one. Better music can't do this one. Is that your native song that your mother used to sing when you were young? That church, that song in your language. That's the song you will remember that day. Do you understand? You will remember that hymn that your reverend used to sing before he preaches in your village. That's the, you can also say that which you already have. Not what I'm promising you. That which you already have. This faith that is burning, this fire that is still in your soul. Hold fast. If you don't protect it, it will go. Many of us pastors need to repent. Church members need to repent. Say, hold it fast. Don't hold it loosely. You know the way you hold your iPhone 16 or 14 or 12 Pro Max. You know you are aspiring to upgrade it very soon. So, but see the way you are holding it. Because nothing must happen to it. So when you take it back, you just add small money and collect the next one. Hold. Come on, tell your neighbor, old Jesus. Tell your neighbor, old Jesus. Say that which you have, that you already have, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. These people, everyone that heard this thing that Jesus said, do you know they all died? They died holding fast. I want you to declare, I will hold fast till the day I see him. I want you to pray and say, I will hold fast till the day I see him. I will be faithful till the very end, till I see him, in Jesus' name. Now, is that the last verse there? Is that the last verse? We need to wrap this up in. You see, I'm always stunned when I see the promises that Jesus gives to us. You see, you think that Jesus is being a brutal master until you see the other side of his love. He said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works, he that continues to do my work when others are making excuses, he that continues to serve me and give me his heart and moves the way my heart moves. He said to him, I will give him power over nations. This is not when Jesus comes. This is why you are in your lifetime. I will give you power over nations. He said that you will rule them with the rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Do you know what that means? You know the way Jesus used to speak, and everywhere will be shaking. Many times when Jesus preaches, everybody will go and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The Pharisees will go into inner chamber meeting. How are we going to kill him? Because his words were like armor, always giving a dent to rebellious heart. He said, I will give you power over nations. When you speak one word from the whole nation will hear that somebody preached something, somebody said something. One pastor called out one small underage boy that says he wants to marry a girl 3 years or 2 years older than him. And there are celebrities on Instagram. People that should be under their parents' tutelage. If only they knew, if only you know how Satan, once he finds that he no longer has need for you, how he throws you away. Have you been hearing what's happening to Puff Daddy? Have you been hearing? Can you see all the shame? But this was someone that had protection to the highest level. But when Satan looks at you, that he doesn't have need for you again, he discards you, he will look for a younger person. Every day they have been in court. The guy is now looking like a very old man. He has white hair all over. But he's a young man. Because there's a level of suffering you have. People will think you are 95. Instead of 45 years. Put up that scripture. He said, and I will give him the money star. This one is an entire message. I'm not sure I will touch this one. Is that the last verse? Huh? Go to 29. This particular verse is troubling to me. Why? Jesus admitted in this verse that there are many people who are his children who don't listen to him. Jesus admitted in this verse that there are people who sit in church and sit in front, but it is what they have in their heart that they will always do. They will never listen to God. Jesus now said, if there is anyone among you that still has ears, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to these churches. The question I want to ask you tonight is, you've been here, this is the part 4 now, voice to the churches. You've been hearing this message. What has changed inside of you? Do you still think you can live your life the way you want to live it and then find God? The scripture says, we should seek for him while he may be found. That means there is a time for which it will be too late. Are you with me? There is a time wherein it will be too late if you don't seek him now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Includes everyone here, including pastors. Because we all need help from God. Am I right? We all need help from God. Stop making excuses. If you have ears, you will set a guard around yourself. Then you will call the other sister and say, anytime you see me doing the wrong thing, even if my face is looking like Oshoronga, call me and tell me that, sister, you are doing something wrong. I know the way other pastors who are my colleagues, and I know the way they do their things. Haven't you seen some of them, even those younger than myself, don't you see how many PAs they have? You don't see them online. I can also do this thing, but I want to last. I'm not matured yet. I'm still growing. Even the one with the ministry is on WhatsApp. Sorry, WhatsApp and Telegram. It's not like they meet every Sunday. As 5-6 PAs. The wife, he also gave the wife 5-6 PAs. The wife is not doing anything. She doesn't have anything she's doing. No. She's just doing mama. Mama for nothing. In this church, there's no shirt for... If you are not fit, you can't play in first 11. You have to be anointed to fill your position. I can't say because I'm the one that God used to tell this church. Oh, God, go and sit down. Pastor David, please come. There was a time we had a particular crisis in this church. You were the resident pastor here. And I told you, if you remember, I told you to prepare. Come. Please explain.
Pastor just told me that David be on alert to prepare messages. And I come into church, I won't preach. So in my notes then, I had like 6-7 messages that whenever I come and pastor says, David, you are preaching. Or maybe the pastor calls me Saturday night and tells me, tomorrow you are preaching. Okay, I'll just brush off. I don't need to, you know, do the whole paparazzi of preaching. I mean, preparing again all over and all of that. So
now, David knew what was going on. Those who are pastors knew what was going on. It was a very delicate situation for us as a church. This same venue that we are in. And I realized that I was becoming very emotional. And in that emotional state, if I had said anything against the people that were involved, Satan would have taken my words and destroyed them. And then I would have also put myself in danger of not speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when the choir, once they're about to round up their whatever, 5 minutes to that, I'm checking myself. Are you sure you can preach? Are you sure you can? I'm checking. Whoever was aware of this period will notice that period, I was preaching messages on holiness, fear of God, humility. I was preaching deliberately to protect my own heart. I was preaching deliberately. This thing was about maybe 2 years or 2.5 years ago. I was preaching this thing deliberately to protect myself. Because I had become very emotional. Why are you? You think Satan cannot touch you? So I put him on standby. That if I just realize that I'm not emotionally stable, you go up. You just see that pastor is sitting down. Do like, what's wrong? When you see, I'm not sick, but I'm not fit. I'm not sick, but I'm not fit for ministry. But I could have decided to keep quiet and come here and start raining curses. Like one pastor in Ghana, his assistant pastor left, took half of the church. He was raining curses on the man. He rained curses on the man's wife. He rained curses on the man's children. Then those who followed him, he rained curses. I pity the pastor. You know, the man has labored. But it was emotional. The man was not supposed to preach that day. You must make yourself accountable. Everything that Jesus said to the church of Thyatira can be summarized into one word. You are getting this revelation so that you will not lose your reward. Please, I want you to note what I just said. Everything Jesus reveal to the church of Thyatira or Ephesus or Pergamon can be summarized into one thing. I am revealing these things to you so that you will not lose your reward. Let's pray. I want you to pray in 1 minute for yourself and pray for your heart and ask the Lord to have mercy upon you. I want you to ask that the love of Jesus will begin to flow and begin to establish His counsel in your heart, that the Lord will revive you again. He will bring forth fire again. He will strengthen you to be able to make the corrections that are necessary, that are needed. That the Lord will help you. He will help your heart. Ask the Lord to help your heart. That you will not be among those who heard the warning but did not have ears to hear. I want you to pray.